Funding for PRI's social entrepreneur coverage is supported by the Skoll Foundation. Find more information at skoll.org.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. According to the Pew Research Center, more than 3/4 of Americans own cell phones. So imagine, if in addition to connecting with family and friends and snapping pictures, cell phones could also collect information, for instance, pollution or pollen levels. Eric Palos is an assistant professor at Carnegie Mellon University's Human-Computer Interaction Institute in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He wants to put tiny environmental sensors in cell phones. Dr. Palos, you want people to become citizen scientists, exploring and measuring things around them. What would they measure?
We're looking at specifically things like carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, ozone, and particulate matter. Particulate matter is particles in the air. Also, those are sort of indicators of people that have respiratory problems, people with asthma. Often these are ways for them to judge what parts of a city or their town or community are safe or easy for them to access health-wise.
These sensors aren't available in phones yet, but you have tested them for personal use by attaching these sensors to street sweepers in San Francisco, to taxi cabs, and student backpacks in a city in Ghana. And so how did people change their behavior when they started to read these sensors and see air pollution?
What we saw was when people were able to actually just see the data across a city, they did things such as, number one, they talked about it more with family and friends and colleagues. They decided to actually change their travel route. So they would say, well, I'm going to go into the city at a different time of day when the air quality is better. I'm going to take a different route. Or other individuals, particularly ones that were in that study in Ghana that you mentioned that were taxi cab drivers, actually brought their vehicle in to have it inspected, thinking, well, maybe I'm part of the problem. So already with some very remedial information, people started to be more informed and act in a proactive manner.
Well, so that's the personal level. What would you do with an aggregate of all this information?
Well, the aggregates where it really starts to get interesting, because this is where you get collective action, you get people sharing. So everybody could be contributing around a very densely populated geographic area, and you could instantly know what the levels are at a parking garage or in a subway station or across the street. You could make decisions around, maybe we think about what's the quickest route to my destination, what about the cleanest route?
But are you worried at all about incorrect data? I mean, you wondered aloud in Seed magazine if someone could, say, maybe drive around and collect false data to drive down real estate prices in a certain area. So are you worried about, you know, data in the wrong hands or false data?
We're talking about the idea of citizen scientists where people are not experts. So, in fact, there will be inaccurate data. But we can essentially eliminate a lot of those problems because you have lots of readings from lots of places. So if someone did, for example, run around a neighborhood reporting malicious or maybe just erroneous data, you can easily calibrate out that these people are outside of the norm because they are cross-calibrated against people that they're also around. So
Right. Essentially
by having lots of people, you help solve that problem.
Right. One last thing. There are some people, I'm not naming any names, me, who are already overwhelmed by emails coming in on your cell phone, and now you're talking about more data coming in. Is there sort of an information overload issue here?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a couple concerns. One is that, of course, we don't want to create a sort of more culture of fear because we want people to be more educated, not more fearful of what's around them. And also, we're hoping that this is a way for people to feel more empowered by their technology. So rather than it offering things like, here's really hip bars or here's cool restaurants, what if I could make my entire community a little bit healthier? What if I could learn about how, methods that they're using to control air quality in other cities and what we could apply to ours? And it doesn't just apply to just air quality. You can imagine it could be noise pollution. It could be disease tracking. And hopefully people feel more empowered because it's not in the hands of one big entity that's controlling things, it's shared amongst people.
That's Eric Palos, assistant professor at Carnegie Mellon University's Human-Computer Interaction Institute in Pittsburgh, talking about possibly attaching sensors to cell phones. Professor Palos, thanks so much for telling us about it.
Great. Thanks, Robin.
Okay, well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this or any story. Just go to hereandnow.org and click on Contact Us to send an email. You can also